16.7%. Several predicted a more modest gain, but even a 0.1 percentage point increase would put poverty at the highest level since 1965. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio, Washington.
Penn State may learn its fate with the NCAA today. The organization could announce its sanctions on the university's football program in the wake of the Jerry Sandusky scandal. Yesterday, the statue of Joe Paterno was taken down on campus. 11 people are dead, 12 injured, all 23 of them crammed into a single pickup truck when it crashed in South Texas. This is NBC News Radio. The suspect in the Colorado movie shooting will make his first appearance in court today. Yesterday, it was a day for coming together as members of the Aurora community gathered for a vigil.
As we gather here today, holding close to each other, we remember those who died on July 20th.
That's Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. President Obama also visited with the families in Aurora yesterday.
It was an opportunity for families to describe how wonderful their brother or their son or daughter was.
Jury selection is set to begin today in the long-delayed murder trial of former suburban Chicago police officer Drew Peterson. He's charged with killing his third wife, Kathleen Savio, in 2004. And a pair of political hot potatoes have been put on hold in the House for now. House Republicans, wary of risking voters' ire 3 months before the election, have shelved bills to cut farm subsidies and food stamps and overhaul the Postal Service. I'm Veronica De La Cruz, NBC News Radio.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Your suspicions are correct. What you're paying airlines in fuel surcharges is rising more quickly than what airlines are paying for fuel. Research by Carson Wagonlit Travel finds over the past year, fuel prices have risen 24%, but over the same time, fuel surcharges have risen 53%. For years, airlines could slap fuel surcharges on customers without including them in advertised base fares, but a new law makes them include the fuel costs. We could see a little tarnish on the Golden Arches today. McDonald's slated to post earnings for the April through June quarter. Forecasters predict only a modest rise in profit and sales, blaming in large part the economic struggles in Europe and Asia. Europe and Asia getting the blame for deep losses in stock futures. We are down more than 1%. S&P futures falling 16 points. Dow futures down almost 150 as China reports slowing economic growth and Spain watches its bond yields hit new record highs. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You may have seen me being interviewed on CNBC, Bloomberg, or Fox TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the market. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade, and I've been on the trading floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-288-0092, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report to you for free. That's 800-288-0092. 800-288-0092.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Business phone systems don't have to be expensive or hard to install and maintain.
Cuditel is an easy-to-use, next-generation VoIP phone system that enables seamless, high-definition voice and video communication.
It's time to fire the phone guy.
Because Cuditel can be deployed by your in-house or outsourced IT staff. Starting at just $1,399 with no per-user or per-feature fees, Cuditel by Barracuda Networks is powerful and affordable. Visit Cuditel.com for a free evaluation.
That's Cuditel.com.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Good morning and welcome to First Shift. I know you're used to hearing the dulcet tones of one Tony Trupiano, but today we bring you a special best of edition of First Shift under special circumstances. Fear not, tomorrow we'll be back with a live show that you're used to, but today I'm going to bring you a lineup of the best interviews we've had recently and bring them to you this hour as we punch in for a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Joining me now, I'm just going to get right to our next segment. Joining me now is State Representative Harvey Santana. Folks, late in the afternoon on Friday, one of the news services that I subscribe to reported that State Representative Santana was stripped of all of his committee assignments by the request of House Minority Leader Richard Hamel. Jace Bolger, the Speaker of the House, said that he agreed with Rep. Hamel's request, quote, because of Representative Santana's continual inappropriate and unprofessional conduct towards fellow Democrat caucus members and his disregard for the decorum of the House of Representatives, neither of which, he went on to say, will be tolerated. Well, State Representative Harvey Santana, who joins us every month, is with us for a little bonus time. And, Harvey, it's a pleasure to have you back. And I guess let me just throw it to you. What's your response to this, Harvey?
Hey, well, good morning to you, Tony. Thank you for having me on. And good morning to 1310 and all my fellow progressives out there. You know, my reaction is simple. If this is the price that I have to pay for trying to be heard on the House floor on an issue that is of particular concern and importance to the residents that I serve, then so be it. The fact is this, Tony, we had this very complicated bill, very controversial bill called House Bill 5866 that would effectively create a public lighting authority for the city of Detroit and allow the city of Detroit in this public lighting authority to go out into the bond market and borrow, Tony, borrow $160 million. Now, here we are having a conversation today about Mayor Bean saying that we're going to be broke by the end of the week. And you want to create a public lighting authority to put on light in the city of Detroit, but you want to borrow $160 million. So don't you think I have to ask questions? Don't you think that I got to do my job? Tony, here's the frustrating part about it. This bill showed up at a committee and was debated for less than 1 hour. It flew out of that committee, ended up on the House floor. It went up for a vote once, twice, three times, and on the third time, when I wanted to debate this issue, they told me, sit down, shut up, they've already cut a deal. They're talking about sit down, shut up, they've already cut a deal. I offered three amendments, Tony, that would effectively deal with the cronyism and nepotism that has plagued our city, and they struck that one down. I offered an amendment that would deal with the relocation of people who are going to be left in the dark as a result of this bill. They struck that down. I offered another bill or another amendment that would effectively put the power in the hands of the people through the city council, because guess what, Tony? We're going to city council by district, and I want to make sure that the city council person of that district, who is more in tune with the district's needs, has the opportunity to have more input into a public lighting plan. They struck that down. When I saw the Republican right-hand man of the governor, Dick Hoskins, walk across that House floor, tap my leadership on the shoulder, say, come on, let's go in the back room. They went in that back room, got some other colleagues, went back there. When I went to confirm that I could speak on this bill, both the Republican Speaker Pro Tem and the Republican floor leader said, Harvey, we don't have a problem with you speaking. You got to check with your leadership. That's when the votes started popping up on the board, Tony, before the leadership even came out of the back room. Amendments are flying onto this bill. No one had a very clear view of what the heck is going on. And next thing I know, I said, oh, my God, we're in trouble. What's going on here? So when I went to the leader and said, look, I want to speak on this issue. What the hell's going on? He said, they're not allowing you to speak. I said, that's baloney. They are allowing me to speak, but you have to advocate on my behalf. And that's when he got, you know, upset. And that's when I said, you know what? You're a gutless coward because you won't stand up for your members.
Well, you know, let me tell you one of the issues that I'm having with this. The media is not properly reporting what happened. In fact, they're not reporting what happened. They're just reporting that your committee memberships have been withdrawn. That's all they're reporting. And Harvey, I've got some fundamental problems with the media that isn't doing their job. They're not doing their job. They're not investigating why. They're not reporting why. They're just saying, hey, you know, Harvey Santana's being a thug on the House floor, so they're going to penalize him. And that's all we're getting out of this. And it's just wrong, Harvey.
Well, you know, it's fist fights and horse races. You know, I'll have another, and Bodemeister wouldn't run the Belmont Stakes, so they didn't care about it. Harvey Santana stands up for his people. All of a sudden, they characterize it as a fight. You know, what bothers me the most is that you see people that get paid very good money for demonstrating passion, for demonstrating conviction and what they believe in. And they drive fancy cars and live on the big house on the big side of town. But when Harvey Santana stands up on principle, I get ostracized. I get marginalized. And I guess this is the way things are done in Lincoln. But you know what? There is a pattern of behavior here. Not on Harvey Santana. Look at what happened to Representative John Alumba when he stood up against what he thought was wrong at Wayne County.
Right.
Look at what happens to Rashida Tlaib when she sits in the middle of 4th Street with a big sign in front of Southwestern High School that says no backroom deals. She gets kicked out of meetings with Roy Roberts. Harvey Santana wants to debate a bill on the House floor, the Michigan House of Representatives, on an issue that's directly related to the people that he represents, the city that he lives in. I'm told, sit down and shut up.
Well, Harvey, what's the difference between forcing an emergency manager on a community and not allowing a representative to represent his constituents? Basically, what the House leadership, both in the minority and the majority, did on Friday was say, you no longer get to represent your community. They've taken away democracy in your district.
Well, Tony, it's a betrayal of democratic principles all the way around. It's a betrayal of democratic principles.
Well, this is, you know, I find their behavior abhorrent, and I'm going to do some follow up on this. I'm going to get Rick Hamill on the show. I'm going to ask him what's going on. This is problematic at a lot of different levels. Now you've got to go back to work. What happens now when you go back to work?
I go back to work and I keep doing my job. That's the bottom line. I'm not going to listen, Tony. If people think that stripping me of committee assignments is going to sit me down and shut me up, let me tell you, Tony, I think you know me well enough to know that they better pack a lunch, because it doesn't matter if it's our side or the other side. Harvey Santana goes all night long and a hell of a lot longer, brother.
Well, I understand. I appreciate that. Certainly, you know, and I don't want to, you know, you and I did talk a couple times this weekend. I don't want to hide anything from this audience. We talked as two friends because, you know, we have really, and I'm blessed that we have become friends over the last year. I, you know, been involved in around politics a long time. You are a rare and wonderful, I'll even say a beautiful specimen of what we would like our politicians to be. I'm proud of what happened. You know, it's okay, so you get your committee assignment stripped. Like you said, big deal. They can't take away your voice. They can't take away the passion that you have for your district. And in fact, I would reckon a guess that if Rick Hamill were to go knocking doors in your community with you, and then you were to go knock doors in his community with him, a lot more people would know who Harvey Santana is in your district than would know who Rick Hamill is in his own.
Well, you know what, Tony? You've raised an interesting point, okay? And this goes to the character of an elected official. There are 110 state representatives, 110. You look around that room and you look at Harvey Santana. Tony, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Do you know what city he represents?
Absolutely.
Yes. Do you know what he stands for? Yes. Do you know what he'll tolerate? Yes. Do you know what he won't tolerate? Absolutely. Do you know what he's convicted about? Absolutely. You look at 109 other refs, you got question marks on some of those people. You've got some that will show up to every fundraiser, never miss a meal, never show up to a caucus, will have a poor attendance record, sit there, and they're what I call a push-button politician. They just sit there, they push the button, then they go home. They never miss a lobbyist meal, haven't introduced one bill, haven't offered one amendment, haven't engaged in one debate, but yet they go home and they tell you that they're fighting for the people.
Well,
I'm not that guy.
Absolutely.
I'm not that guy. There's two types of policymakers up there, okay? The one that runs towards the bullets and the ones that find a convenient place to hide.
All right.
And I choose to be on the front line every single time.
Yes, you do. And very quickly, because we're just about out of time, but I have to ask you the question. It's been reported that you and Representative Hamill were at each other, and not physically, but that there was a confrontation. My question to you very simply is, did Rick Hamill come to you and say, Harvey, you need to tone it down? Or did he go to Jace Bolger and say, we need to tone him down?
Well, what we had was an argument on the House floor, and these people characterize it as a fight because I guess it sells more papers. You know, it was a heated argument, and I told him that this was wrong, that Detroit's voice has been silenced. There's another side to this issue. And Tony, ask yourself the question, if this is such a great bill, if this is just a wonderful piece of public policy, then why did it go up on the board three times? Two of those times, they couldn't get enough votes. The third time, they wanted to hurry up and slip it under the door. The last time they slipped something under the door, it was called the Patriot Act, and look what happened.
Yeah,
the last time they rushed a bill through Congress, what happened in 2008 with the bank bailout? This is why I object. I also object because we have an authority, and look at the scandal that it's in.
Yeah,
it's
no question. Harvey, we're just out of time. Thank you. We're out of time. Thank you for the clarification. Of course, we'll be following this. If you need back on the show, you just give me a call.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you to all my fellow progressives.
Absolutely. Harvey Santana, State Representative Harvey Santana. Quick break here.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
We still got that problem over on the Lodge Freeway southbound in Wyoming, where now you have a plastic bumper that's in your right lane, so watch out in that area. Also, M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes, your right two lanes are closed until Tuesday. And also, we got road construction on 94 in both directions between County Line Road and 23 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Looking for a hot new way to pop? Introducing new Spicy Chicken McBites. Crispy, poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy kick. New Spicy Chicken McBites, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Faville, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Joining me now is Ed Montgomery. Ed was appointed by this White House as Director for Recovery for Auto Communities and Workers.
Take Michigan, for example. Since July of 2009, manufacturing has added about 161,000 jobs. Of that 161,000, half of those jobs have come in the manufacturing sector. So, you know, half of our progress in Michigan has been through the rebirth of manufacturing. I think you can't underestimate the importance of automobiles, which stimulates not only bringing back people in the auto factory, but all up and down the supply chain, the people who make the glass, the people who make the steel, in terms of revitalizing manufacturing altogether. And that's really comes from the president's policies and leadership.
On 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
With Occupy Detroit at 7:50 at the bottom of this hour, State Representative Harvey Santana will be with us. Those of you paying attention over the weekend know that he was stripped of his committee assignments in the House. Why? Well, there are a couple stories coming out. I talked to Harvey this weekend. We'll get his side, and then we'll let you decide. But before we get to any of that, it's really a pleasure. About a year ago or so, I was asked to go to Port Huron to talk to the St. Clair County Democratic Club. And, man, what a blessing that was. One of the people that I sat and chatted with for a period of time was a guy by the name of Stuart Sternberg. Now, Stuart's one of those kind of people where once you talk to him for about 5 minutes, you quickly understand that he's intelligent. He's a former school teacher, by the way, retired. Very intelligent, very passionate, very much the activist. He kind of, you know, fits that mold of what you want to see in somebody that cares about the community. He's entrenched in the community. He's well known. He's respected. In fact, he would be one of those guys that if he were to run for office, it would be hard for the other side to really find much wrong without lying anyway. Well, guess what? He decided he is going to run for the state house, in fact. And so he reached out to me last week, and Jeff did his job, and here we are now talking to Stuart this morning. So let us turn our attention now to Stuart Sternberg, who is running for the State House. And, Stuart, I appreciate just spending a little time with us this morning.
I love being back. You know, Tony, I know I'm old and fat, but I'm not yet retired. I'm still involved. So any administrator hearing that I'm retired, don't cut me off yet.
Well, now, are you a retired teacher?
No, I'm an active teacher.
Yeah, well, then a shame on me.
You know, that's all right. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know that I know you've been working to lose weight and get in shape. I got to tell you, you should consider running for office because nothing makes you feel, you know, you get in better shape than walking door to door to door.
Yeah, I did that in 2006, and I did it. I've been there. I got the T-shirt, and that's where we're going to leave it, Stuart. But we're here to talk about your run for
right.
The State House, and so let's, you know, it's again, there's so much going on. You're an activist. You're a smart person. You're paying attention legislatively what's happened over the last year and a half. And Stuart, if you'll recall the first time, you know, when you and I first met, when I was out there to speak to the group, when we met that day, you know, you were talking then, and this was at the very beginning of the assault on public education. And what has happened since then has really been quite dramatic and profoundly disappointing. At what point do you say to yourself, I can't just sit back, I need to get engaged? Because you're not alone. There are a lot of other teachers that are running for the state house this year.
Well, let me talk about that. First of all, last week when Wisconsin recall election failed, I know a lot of people were dispirited, and we can't be dispirited regarding Wisconsin and Indiana. You know, I know I'm frustrated by statements by Governor Mitch McDaniels. I don't expect anything different from him. You know, he spreads distortions and lies, but instead of being disheartened, let this serve as a wake-up call. You know, we're not going to go down the path of Wisconsin and Indiana. We're Michigan. We are, you know, organized labor is part of who we are. It's our heritage. We hold the labor battles in Flint and the fight on the overpass, we hold those with reverence. We know that unions have made life better for all workers, and we've seen the graphs which show that the decline in membership of the union parallels the decline in the middle class. You know, how much more obvious can it be? And just as unions made life better for all laborers, so people supporting collective bargaining, you know, we have to once again take the lead and work to stop the right to work for less laws. We have to see the Protect Our Jobs petition, which I know you've talked about many, many, many times. We have to make sure that succeeds so that we have a constitutional amendment in Michigan to guarantee collective bargaining. We have to draw the line in the sand. We have to stop the attack, not just on public sector workers, on all workers in Michigan. And not just on all workers. Workers represent families. They represent all the people of Michigan. They represent, you know, children. We have to stop this. We have to stop. We have to put people before profits, or else we're going to go down a dark alley.
You know, Stuart, it's fascinating. And if you will, just let me paint this picture for the audience for a moment. You come from a union family. You're you know, certainly that's an important part of your heritage. And I would believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I would believe it helped shape the person that you are today. Then, you know, you and Jamie get married. She's a dedicated nurse. You're a dedicated teacher. You're both activists. You both care deeply about your community. And I mean that. I mean, you care deeply about your community. You know, you decided that, you know, when you were gonna take root somewhere, that, you know, you were going to invest, whatever that means. You were going to invest in where you live, and the importance of doing that and reaching out. And people need to understand, Stuart, that when you become an educator, you know, that is a lifetime commitment, no different than any serious commitment you would make in your life. So this is, as we talk about you being whatever a good Democrat means, this isn't just about what that means on paper. This is personal for you, isn't it?
Well, it is personal. My dad was a tool and die worker, UAW member, and we were a UAW household, and unions have been part of my identity. When I started hearing people badmouth unions, I was surprised. You know, I grew up, I'd never heard that. And to find, you know, unions demonized, to find, you know, teachers demonized, that I never expected. And one of the things I wanted to say is this idea that the teachers right now recalled Phil, and the Pavlov recalled Phil, and it was very difficult. I wish we had gotten more support from unions in the Pavlov recall, but I understand the just difficulties. However, we have to put that aside now, and we have to move to a new goal. And the most important goal is to directly take back government, directly, take back the House. And one of the things that's amazing to me is how many teachers have taken up that call. Teachers who are the most trusted career beside, you know, along with nurses and along with, you know, other professions, they've taken up the call, and right now we need to support them because they'll work as a block. And they don't just come to the legislature with education as their only specialty. A lot of these people have are amazingly bright and have varied backgrounds. Some of the people running for office that your listeners should know about in the area, besides myself, and I hope they'll remember Stuart Sternberg up here in St. Clair County, is Pam Jackson, an educator running for the new 39th.
And in fact, Stuart, she is a former teacher of mine, and I will be joining her next week at a fundraiser where I am proud to be introducing her.
That's wonderful. She's an amazing woman. An amazing West Bloomfield, and she's running for part of Commerce Township as well. Another individual is Steve Losey, who's running for the 51st, and he's going after the seat which was vacated, by the only successful recall in Michigan. And then there's John Nugent, the 82nd, which is in Lapeer. He's not an educator, but he is on the Board of Education there, and he is very understanding and is grounded in education. Another one is Sherry Smith, who is an educator up in San Juan County or involved in education, and she's running in Columbus Township by me, and I'll hopefully be doing a fundraiser with her sometime in the future. So we're moving as a group because we understand that we have to work together, which is one of the reasons, one of the things that's really important is that we support each other. You know, I'm talking about Pam Jackson. I'm running for office, but I'm talking about Pam Jackson and Sherry Smith and John Nugent because what we need to do is we need to work together. It's not enough to have one Democrat elected. It's not enough to have, you know, just raise our amount by a few in the House. We have to work as a block, and that means that people who live in Royal Oak should consider the possibility of, you know, if they have the means, contributing to people in Detroit.
I don't disagree with that, Stuart. Not just in Detroit, people in St. Clair County as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but let me can you stay with us a little longer? We have to take a break.
Sure.
All right, let's do that. Let me get some information out, and then we'll take the break and come back and talk a little longer with Stuart. And we'll get this up on the Facebook page if we haven't already. The website, by the way, is votesternberg.org. That's vote, STERNBERG.org. So do that. The number, if you would like to ask us any questions, 888-552-3595. The email address is always tony@thetonyshow.org. A lot more to get to. Stuart Sternberg, if you don't hear it, if you don't feel it, this is a pretty exceptional guy.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
You are accident-free on your commute so far. We're still watching that one problem where you have that plastic bumper in your left lane. That's over on the Lodge Freeway southbound, just after Wyoming. And, of course, we got construction on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. And also road construction has reduced down to two lanes on 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
Friday, the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage. Don't miss the biggest event of the year, the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Friday, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
Hey, Tony Trupiano with you indeed. Pleasure to be with you today and every day for that matter. Stuart Sternberg is my guest. He is running for the Michigan House of Representatives, a proud Democrat, a proud teacher, a proud activist, and proud to be on the show. You just, again, there's just something infectiously great about Stuart. Remind you again, the website you want to go check out, votesternberg.org. That's STERNBERG.org. And if you'd like to send them a direct email, you can do that at votesternberg@gmail.com. And of course, you can find him on Facebook. Go ahead and search for him there. You know, Stuart, as we take a look at issues, I mean, so we understand you've got an education background, but you understand that you're not just going there to make sure teachers get their due. There are some there are lots of serious issues that we need to make sure that we keep our eye on, that we seem to have taken our eye off of over the last year and a half plus.
How about job creation? How about instead of wasting time, you know, on the right-wing agenda, we actually, you know, we do what the Republicans claim to have gone there for, which is to do job creation and in Michigan. And you do that, you know, there's different measures you can take. But obviously one for me is collective bargaining, because you ensure, you know, that you have a safe environment for workers. You ensure that you have, you know, quality materials being produced. Also job investment, job training. And instead of, you know, this austerity kick that everyone's on, job, you know, investment in industry. So that's one thing that I think, and a lot of teachers, like Pam, for instance, Pam Jackson, brings to the table. She has, you know, she has some background in business. We all have other specialties. One of my specialties is dealing with youth services. Before I was an educator, I worked in west side of Wayne County with foster care and dealing with issues of sexual and physical abuse and substance abuse. And there's lots of issues that need to be dealt with. But, you know, number one, of course, is job creation. Number two is the idea of getting money out of Lansing, and we've got to do it. We have to have there are three platforms or three prongs of the things I'm really emphasizing. You hit the first one, which is restoring public education, stopping this insanity and privatization. And the second one for me is, you know, job creation and collective bargaining. And the third one for me is this idea of government transparency and accountability. And I hate using the word accountability because that's been a term that's been used against teachers like a spear through the heart. You know, it's a code word for we're coming to get you. But accountability for government should mean that corporations that are contributing to legislators we need to know who they are, and we need to know how much they're giving, and we need to have laws that rein in these lobbyists, and maybe we need to make sure that part of that constitutional amendment says that if you're running for office and you serve in Michigan, there has to be a period of time before you can jump in and become a lobbyist, because I promise you, a lot of these individuals, and probably Mr. Pavlov, who I wouldn't be surprised will end up working for the Mackinac Center or for some charter school corporation. We've got to stop that from happening, because that's the heart of corruption. There was a survey that was done that showed Michigan had one of the most corrupt governments in the country from that perspective. We can't allow that to continue. So the constitutional amendment will begin to make the government more responsible to the people. You won't see emergency managers going in, setting their own salaries and selling off public assets and, you know, firing people who are elected and overturning the will of the people. Not if you have a responsive government. And we need to make sure we're doing that.
Well, you, Stuart, and it's critical as we move forward. And, you know, you understand, you would of course reference knocking on doors. There's nothing that replaces that, by the way. And I would guess, I haven't been with you, and if you'd like me to come knock some doors with you, let me know, and I'll come out and do that. But, Stuart, I would think that as you're knocking on doors, as you're talking to people, as you're educating, because there's a lot of education that goes on that porch step, there's no question that's true. You know, I sometimes, again, as I was a candidate, would get concerned by how little people know, but then I realized that that's part of the empowerment process, making sure that we educate people as candidates, as elected the members of our community, that, you know, one of our responsibilities is to educate people. So that brings me to just a very basic question. And of course, Stuart, you know I'm a huge advocate of education, especially public education. It really is the foundation of everything. Everything we do. Without education, without a fundamentally strong public education system, we are not ensuring a future for our next generation of people. We're just not.
What's the infrastructure? If you're, you know, it's the infrastructure. What we've done to education is we have shortchanged ourselves and hurt ourselves for the next 10 years. And regarding it, let me backtrack one quick second. You know, I was talking about the Pavlov recall and the fact that we didn't succeed. However, we didn't succeed, but we did not fail. I cannot tell you how many people we talked to during that recall process who did not know what was going on, who turned around and then signed a petition. We educated many, many, many people in St. Clair County as to just how heinous Pavlov and his crew were. You know, so education is, the more people know, and knowledge is power, the more you empower people.
Well, you know, it is clearly, you know, if we were to replace people like Pavlov and Tom McMillan and some of the real enemies of that foundation, if we really do need to be very thoughtful when we go into that voting booth, Stuart Sternberg, that we are making sure that we, and I've tried to make this as easy as I possibly can for this audience. It needs to be personal. So when you go vote for that someone, when it's Stuart Sternberg, make sure that Stuart represents what matters to me.
And that's a good point, because you also have, in, you know, all around primary challenges, and you have to be able to look at, when you're going into the booth for primary, you have to make sure that the person represents you. You have to make sure that person, hopefully you're progressive, and you're making sure that person has your progressive ideals, regardless, perhaps sometimes, of where the endorsement might be. Do they represent you? Are they rank and file? And I think that's critical.
Well, there's no question that is true. You mentioned endorsements. Listen, all you know, candidates get them. And are they important? Yeah, yes and no. I will never forget when I first ran, you know, my campaign manager sat me down, and because every right away people wanted bumper stickers and lawn signs, and she said, you know, Tony, all that stuff will come, but yard signs don't vote. Endorsements don't vote. People vote. And it's
exactly
about connecting with people.
Exactly. And endorsements can sometimes, you know, look pretty on a web page, but the people sometimes who that endorsement might possibly, you know, target are not necessarily going to vote for you. And so that's important. What you need to do is you need to connect with people. You know, as long as you have integrity, as long as you are speaking the truth, as long as you're reaching out to people and you really care and you have passion and you have a good vision, a vision that's meaningful, I think you're going to succeed.
Absolutely. Stuart, we're just out of time for today. Obviously, you're one of those people with vision. We'll, of course, look forward to visiting with you in the very near future. In the meantime, vote Sternberg.org. Stuart, thanks so much for your time this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Tony. You take care.
And blessings to you, my friend. A quick break here. State Representative Harvey Santana in an interview you don't want to miss. Coming up next right here on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic this time around, we do have a problem on the Southfield Freeway southbound at the Ford Road exit. We have.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress. This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
Are you ready for a dose of truth? And interestingly, as we had a week in the State House and the State Senate that would make any former and should make any legislator embarrassed. We have Mark Schauer on to discuss things that actually do matter. And so, Mark, I want to thank you for giving us some of your time this morning.
Oh, you're welcome, Tony. It's always my pleasure.
I have to ask, as we're about to talk about transportation infrastructure and the jobs that that can create, we could obviously talk about the announcement of the bridge on Friday and how important that will be, not just for construction jobs, but, you know, for making Michigan once again an important cog and not just in the Michigan machine, yes, but in a regional machine. And as we take a look at some other issues, is the legislature here in the state of Michigan, do they have their priorities in the wrong place?
Well, I think we have to remember what happened, especially last year in the legislature when they provided a huge tax cut to corporations while cutting the earned income tax credit for working poor people, created a new pension tax, cut funding for schools, universities, community colleges, and the states that win and the countries that win in this global economy are those that make wise investments. And businesses will tell you when they pick places to locate in this new high-tech global economy, they pick educated states and educated communities. Those that are making investments in innovation, new technology, manufacturing. So, the bridge, for example, I think is a very good investment. One, it positions us to, again, be a global manufacturing hub and, a hub that attracts, you know, high-tech research and development because the infrastructure is in place to support all of the relating manufacturing. And, you know, we talk a lot about automotive manufacturing, and that's a big part of the clean economy because we see Detroit leading again in producing, the vehicles of the future, the vehicles that consumers want, that produce fewer greenhouse gas emissions and are cheaper to drive because they use less gasoline, making us less dependent on foreign oil. But that manufacturing, Tony, is also about manufacturing the wind turbines and all of the components, many of which are closely related to the automotive industry, components for solar panels and solar arrays and so forth. And, you know, so infrastructure, innovation, new technology, and educated workforce all go hand in hand. And, you know, the Blue-Green Alliance believes we need a jobs plan. And our Jobs 21 plan includes all of these components and many others. And too many folks out there on the trail, so to speak, don't have anything close to a jobs plan.
Well, let me throw out some numbers and let's Mark Schauer talk about a little bit. In the state of Michigan, as an example, there are over 43,000 Michiganders who work in the highway and transit related fields. We take a look at President Obama. Had certainly, in part of his jobs plan, had talked about building infrastructure, roads and bridges.
Right.
We know that he's willing to and has demonstrated a necessity in investing in green jobs and in being inclusive of the blue community. So, you know, we're keeping with our blue-green alliance theme here, Mark Schauer. This isn't pie-in-the-sky stuff. At the same time, we have a legislature both at the federal level and the state level that isn't doing any, not even having a discussion about this. This is what I find very disturbing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the clock is going to run out in 12 days on the current transportation bill, and you know, I was in Congress on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and since that time, when the 6-year transportation law expired, there have been 9 extensions. This Congress is having a hard time doing anything, and it's because of the insanity of the House, where, you know, they actually wanted to sort of gut transit funding and historically dedicated revenue to transit, which we know is putting thousands of people to work in Michigan, helping people get to work in a very environmentally friendly way, plus, you know, all the manufacturing jobs that that industry supports, some of which are right here in Michigan. And then you talked about, you know, hardworking, skilled, trained men and women in the union trades that that build our infrastructure, that produce the steel, that work the cranes and do the underground work, do the paving and all of that. You know, those workers, you know, the unemployment rate for folks in the building trades is double the unemployment rate, and probably even higher than that. It's at least double, Tony. And you know, held a press conference in Lansing with some of the trades and with transit and the Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association. Take $1.5 billion, Tony, $1.5 billion to fix Michigan roads. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's had to replace a tire and a rim because of the condition of our roads. And, you know, it's bad for business when our infrastructure is so bad. And it's just, to me, it's the closest thing to a no-brainer that I can think of. And, you know, we've got a Congress that can't pass that transportation bill, and it runs out June 30. And let me just underscore, this is not partisan, because the Senate did its work. The Senate passed a bill with broad bipartisan support. I think they had 70 votes. Broad bipartisan support, Tony, and you know, the House can't get it done under Speaker Boehner, and you know, President Obama's ready to sign it. We're, you know, we've got workers ready to do the work and people ready to produce the steel, we will see all the jobs that result from that. So I can't figure out what's going on there, Tony.
Well, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world, but the Republicans keep on using this term "kick the can down the road" every time we talk about more investment in infrastructure. But Mark Schauer, at some level, doesn't the cost that you talked about, $1.5 billion, what isn't the cost of delaying this keep on increasing what it will cost to fix this stuff?
Well, it's like neglecting repairs on your home. You know, sort of pay now or pay later. And, you know, communities that have their act together, they do, you know, routine maintenance of their roads and bridges and infrastructure. And, you know, countries like Germany and China are spending, you know, 2 and 3 times more per capita than what we do on our infrastructure. It's just a bad way to conduct business to neglect something as basic as our infrastructure. And, you know, included in that are things like rail, high-speed passenger rail. And fortunately, under President Obama, we've seen you know, high-speed passenger rail become a priority. And I'll tell you, in my hometown of Battle Creek, just last week, the ribbon was cut updated intermodal transportation facility, the train station that's shared with transit. So it was $3.6 million that I helped secure under the Recovery Act, the stimulus that put people to work, has created a state-of-the-art facility that's really going to be an anchor in downtown. It will attract people to use transit. And you know, that's an example of a common sense investment that really is a win, you know, just all the way around.
No question, Mark. We're just out of time for today. I want to thank you, though, for spending some time with us. And as I say, every time we have you on, you'll be back soon.
Because there's always next time. Next time, let's talk a little bit more about the production tax credit, renewable energy.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Mark Schauer,
sounds
once
good,
again, bluegreenalliance.org. We've got to get to the break.
That'll do it for this hour. Remember, today is a best of, but tomorrow we're back with live shows and up-to-date information that you've come to know, love, and respect. I'm Jeff Radford, producer of First Shift, and I hope you've enjoyed the hour and the guests and the information we've been able to bring you. Stay punched in. We've got plenty more to bring your way after we get some news from NBC.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
You are accident-free on your commute so far. We're still watching that one problem where you have that plastic bumper in your left lane. That's over on the Lodge Freeway southbound, just after Wyoming. And, of course, we got construction on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. And also road construction has reduced down to two lanes on 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The Mini Cooper Hardtop gets 37 miles per gallon. That's 37, commute-changing, rarely having to fill your tank, miles per gallon. Get the $0 to motor lease with zero money down and $249 per month. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW Dearborn Detroit.
NBC News Radio, I'm Richard Louie. President Obama says a brighter day will come after the movie theater massacre in Aurora, Colorado. The president telling injured victims and families that the entire country is thinking of you.
People are strong, and people bounce back, and people are resilient. And particularly given the fact that so many of the victims were young, it is a great blessing to see how rapidly they're able to recover.
James Holmes, a man accused of killing 12 people and injuring more than 50 others, makes his first court appearance this morning. Authorities say his assault rifle jammed in the middle of the rampage, saying the toll could have been much worse. A horrific crash last night in rural South Texas when a pickup truck packed with 23 people ran off the road and crashed into trees. At least 11 people were killed. And how dry is it? New stats show drought conditions now plague a whopping 64% of the country and that more than half the nation's pastures are in poor condition. This is NBC News Radio. A violent day in Iraq where bombings and gunfire have claimed at least 82 lives, including 13 soldiers on an army base in northeastern Iraq. Penn State has removed its statue of Joe Paterno following a report that blasted the late football coach and other top university officials for concealing allegations of child sexual abuse in the Jerry Sandusky scandal. NBC's Luann Khan.
University President Rodney Erickson issued a statement saying Coach Paterno's statue has become a source of division and an obstacle to healing in our university and beyond.
Meanwhile, the hammer comes down today on Penn State's football program when the NCAA details corrective and punitive measures against the school. And Mickey D's is going for the gold. The world's largest McDonald's is opening, where else? At the London Olympics. Some health advocates say the two-story shrine to fast food flies in the face of athletic achievement. But McDonald's points out it's been sponsoring the game since 1976. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
Get ready to support Team USA. Even if you can't make it to the 2012 Olympic Games, you can still be a winner. Visit your local BP station to get an official game card. There are over $1 million in total prizes available, including BP gas for a week or even gas for a year.
No purchase necessary. Gas for a year awarded is $3,245 in BP gift cards. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and over, except New Jersey and Virginia residents. Void or prohibited and in New Jersey and Virginia. Full rules, price details, and information on free entry at participating BP stations or bpusathletes.com while supplies last.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it free today.
A busy week ahead for earnings reports, with hopes wavering that the streak of most companies' better-than-expected results can keep up. We hear from Apple this week, also the first report from Facebook as a public company. And this morning, McDonald's. Predictions have been scaled back for the largest restaurant chain in the world. While sales have remained strong in the U.S., they have been weakening in Asia and Europe, amid tough economic signals. We have fresh signals today as economic readings in China and Taiwan show growth continuing to slow. Asian markets fell 2 to 3% following that. Even tougher news from Europe, as reports say Greece may walk away from its commitment to the Eurozone, and as debt worry in Spain pushes that nation's bond yields to new record highs. U.S. investors are not taking all that news very well. S&P futures right now down more than 1%, 14 points. NASDAQ futures are down 30. Dow futures right now giving back 138 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You may have seen me being interviewed on CNBC, Bloomberg, or Fox TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the market. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade, and I've been on the trading floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-288-0092, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report to you for free. That's 800-288-0092. 800-288-0092.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for
an idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Good morning and welcome to First Shift. I know you're used to hearing the dulcet tones of one Tony Trupiano, but today we bring you a special best of edition of First Shift under special circumstances. Fear not, tomorrow we'll be back with a live show that you're used to, but today I'm going to bring you a lineup of the best interviews we've had recently and bring them to you this hour as we punch in for a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Interesting and very, very difficult day yesterday. We'll talk about that at 7:50. At the bottom of this hour, Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO, will be my guest. We're going to talk about the aftermath of Wisconsin. But I want to turn my attention now to actually a friend. And so it's often nice to have friends in studio. And I do. I quickly want to, as I mentioned at least twice this week, when I ran for Congress in 2006, Dr. Syed Taj was a fervent and ardent supporter of my campaign, as he was for Natalie Mosher, who ran a few years after I did. He is a Canton Township trustee. In fact, there are some that said there's no way a Democrat could get elected in Canton. And sure enough, not only did he, but he's one of the more popular people there. He's decided to run for Congress in the 11th Congressional District, which has now been made a little more infamous, once again, not by what Thaddeus McCotter did as a congressman, but what he did as a candidate. And, of course, as we all know at this point, he is no longer fit to be a candidate, as the State Board of Canvassers decided just day before yesterday. His political career is now dead on arrival. And come November, there will be a new name representing the 11th District. We're hoping it's going to be Dr. Syed Taj. And Dr. Taj, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And it's a pleasure to be here. And good morning to all your listeners.
Well, thank you. And your listeners and some of these folks actually will be your voters soon enough. Before we talk about some of the challenges that you're facing, because you actually do have a primary opponent. I want to make sure we talk about this, because this guy's crazy. He's just nuts. But we'll get to that in a moment. I do want to ask you to comment on what's happened with Thaddeus McCutter. I mean, he's a five-term incumbent. Certainly, you've heard it. I heard it when I ran. Natalie heard it when she ran. Everybody hears it. A Democrat can't win in the 11th, and there was no reason for anybody, especially in the media, who seems to coronate people, Dr. Taj, there was no reason to believe that anybody was going to beat Thad McCotter anyway. Your thoughts on what's happened with his campaign and, more importantly, his political career, which is now over?
As you know, Ted has been around for 10 years as a congressman representing the old 11th district. What happened inside his own office, it's very unfortunately to say right now, because we really don't know what happened. But I think it's in the press, it's in the news everywhere, that apparently he did not have enough signatures in time. And they did copy some old signatures, which was hastily done, so it was not even perfect copies. So when it went to Lansing, when they reviewed it, unfortunately, they only found 244 valid signatures. So they decided at that time, as the time has lapsed, he could not be on the ballot. And then when they investigated, they found that there was a lot of them were copies and recopies and from previous cycles. So, unfortunately, I don't know who to blame, but I think the buck stopped at Thaddeus McCutter because he was the candidate.
Right.
So I think he has to take the responsibility.
All right. Let me ask you, because these are questions that certainly people want answers to, and I know I'm going to ask you this question, and your answer is going to be obvious, but do you feel you can win this race?
In fact, when I started campaigning, I think even with the redistricting, it was told that this is still a very Republican, and they thought it's almost like 56-57 versus 43-44. Even at that time, I was very confident that I would be able to beat this guy. And the reason is that I do remember the election of 2008 as well, which Tony didn't mention. And I did support at that time our candidate, Joe Larkin.
Yes.
Who unfortunately did not have money and did not have really a good campaign. But he almost came very close to beating Thaddeus McCutter.
I was giving him a pass. There are some say he didn't do a whole lot to help himself in that race either. So that's why I was giving him a pass,
but
Dr. Tosh.
You are absolutely right about it. And I can vouch for it that there was not enough done. Because if it was, 2% was not that difficult to get. And what happens that thinking about myself, when I proved in 2008 when I ran for the city township in Canton, which is one of the largest population in my district, it's almost 91,000, I think just little short of Livonia. So this is the second largest township in my district. And when I ran in 2008, people said, oh, no Democrat ever got elected in this town. So I did it at that time, and I think I did it in the old-fashioned way, where I contacted people, went door-to-door. I told them that, listen, I'm not a career politician, I'm a physician. How do you like having somebody who cares for people, who takes care of patients, who talks to people? So they accepted me, and to my surprise, to everyone's surprise, on the day of election, when 85% of the vote were casted, I got the highest vote even that day. And since then, I've become quite popular among my colleagues, and we have done a lot of things together. So when all these happened, and when this new seat came up, looking at the new demographics, when we found that 40% of this new district was Gary Peters' old winning seat, a two-term winning seat, and 60% was Thaddeus McArthur's seat. And I think at that time we decided that this is a seat I can win. And then there was another thing which was, it's like a trump card for me, that district is very professional, very well educated, and affluent district, where people are really not extremes on either side. They look at the candidate, they think about the candidate, and I thought being a physician and also having a lot of my colleagues living in my district, especially if you look around Troy, Bloomfield Hills, part of West Bloomfield, Novi, Northville, there's a lot of people I personally know who could have different political viewpoint, but when it comes to supporting their own colleagues, they would have supported me.
Well, so. and that does not surprise me. And, you know, so that people understand, you actually reached out to me quite a long time ago to tell me that you were considering running for Congress. We ran into each other somewhere, yes. And you gave me your card, and I called you, and of course I encouraged you to do this because I believe in you, and I've not forgotten meeting your family and being in your home, and you were very good to me when I ran. This has been 6 years it's been a long time.
I remember.
I do find it interesting. There are some interesting similarities between what would have been a Thaddeus McArthur campaign and yours. You're both running against extremes. Let's talk for a moment about your opponent. You do have a primary, but this gentleman is not necessarily a Democrat, except in name only. He has extreme points of view. In fact, he wants to impeach the president. He has been known to put a Hitler mustache on pictures of the president. He's very disrespectful towards our government. He has no interest, actually, in serving in Congress or being elected. He just wants to make a name for himself, in my opinion, and just make some noise. But that doesn't mean you can ignore what it is he's doing, does it?
Not at all, no. I have to get to the primary. And my philosophy would be to let the voters know this guy's background, this guy's policy, as most of the voters would remember Lyndon LaRouche, who had been fighting for president every 4 years since 1976 until 2004. And at that time, he was convicted of some problem, and he was jailed for 15 years. So he served 6 years in jail, and when he came out, he cannot run for any government seat or any seat anywhere. So now he has his followers. And what they did in 2010, they ran one or two places, but in 2012, they have got six candidates running in six different states, which also includes Michigan 11th. And, obviously, probably people know his name is William Roberts. But to me, as you mentioned, he cannot be really a Democrat and running on a Democratic platform.
And you're being far nicer than I don't have to be as nice. When I ran for Congress, these people drove me up a wall. They showed up at everything that I was at. They wanted me to come speak at their meetings. When I refused to do it, they said they were going to produce literature. They were going to lie about me. I encouraged them to do that because I told them at the time I can use all the name recognition they could give me. They never did it, by the way. Dr. Syed Taj is my guest. We have to take a very quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. We're going to talk about some issues because ultimately this is a serious candidate that wants to talk about serious things. So everybody stay.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right.
Do you think he gets tired of hearing the form of a question? Like, he's in the hospital right now.
Oh, yeah.
Doctors are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
On 1310 WDTW.
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
A little bit about that, although it's the new district. I still know a little bit about that district. Happy to have him in studio. As we were saying in the last segment, very, very supportive of myself and other candidates, Democratic candidates that have run in the 11th, and now it's his turn. And we are not talking during the break. This electing him is retribution for lots of reasons. Dr. Todd, let's talk about some of the issues that matter to you. You're a physician. You have a very prominent role in your public life as a physician. Let's talk a little bit about healthcare and how important that is to you.
It was amazing and it was shocking to me that a big industrialized nation like United States cannot provide healthcare to its people. So it was really shocking to me when I came in 1982. And I think the first and foremost thing is that we have to provide healthcare to every individual of this country. So, we did our share when we have been practicing, and I'm still practicing. We did our share. But I think the federal government has to do more. I think Affordable Care Act, which was passed by the Congress a couple of years ago, in 2009 actually, is probably a good background and a base. But it didn't go far enough, as far as I'm concerned.
No, oh, and I'm not going to disagree with that. I don't feel it went far enough either. But I do know, as we have on this show broken down the numbers, so we have seen especially seniors and young people up to the age of 26 have saved billions of dollars in preventive care, and it's so critical. I often think we put a price tag on things, Dr. Taj, and we don't look at what we save. We only look at what we spend. And that does a disservice to the entire conversation. I don't disagree with you. It should have done more, but it is a good start, and we need to honor what we started. Mitt Romney says, well, the first thing he'll do, which he doesn't, of course, have the ability to do, is to get rid of Obamacare. I would suggest that maybe one of the first things that you might do is to help protect the Affordable Care Act.
I would definitely protect Affordable Care Act, and I can assure you that is the misinformation. A lot of people don't understand the Affordable Care Act. I don't think a person in their right mind would like to have their children not covered on health insurance. I don't think anybody in their right mind would stop stop about the pre-existing condition and things like that, and also the ceiling. We can't go back to the good old days of health services where a person at the time, if they're going to get a treatment, says, sorry, there's no money left. You have used up your ceiling. That can never happen when I'm a congressman.
All right. Well, I believe that when you go, and by the way, the website is TajForCongress.com. When you go there, the very first window says we need a physician in the house, and we do need a doctor in the house.
And I can tell you something about that. When we were doing the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, there were 42 people invited to sign that document. 39 showed up, and out of that, there were 9 doctors at that time.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes, sir. But now, look at the Congress we have. 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. That's a total of 8 to 9 people representing an industry which is number 2 in the nation after defense.
You speak about representing an industry. One of the issues that I know that matters for you are women's health issues as well, reproductive rights, and you are truly a progressive in that regard. The state legislature yesterday did something unconscionable, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on in this hour. But let's talk for a moment about the Republican plan to get rid of Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security as we know it. How important is it to you and to my audience needs to hear this. How important is it to you that we protect those national programs so that the promises that were made will be promises kept?
I think these were the safety nets which were developed before. And I can start with the Social Security. You know, when we had this economic downturn in the last few years, I think the people who have been in Social Security probably did fairly well in comparison to the 40s and the 50s who lost their job. If it was not for Social Security, more than 50% of our seniors who have been on Social Security would have been living in poverty. So I think this is something we have to preserve. As far as Medicare is concerned, we cannot make it a voucher program. I understand what patients go through. I've been dealing with Medicare and Medicare recipient for the last 30 years, and I know how confusing it can be. So asking my 80 and 90 years old that, listen, this is a voucher and go and find an insurance, it's absurd. And it should never be even discussed. So I will support to keep Medicare intact as it is. But let me go a little bit further. We know as a provider, there's a definite wastage in healthcare dollars. There's no question about it. And I think that is what you need a physician to lead those committees and subcommittees where we can. We don't need to borrow money to run our CMS programs, which is Medicare and Medicaid. We have money sitting there. And I can give you an example. Thomson Reuters did a survey in 2008, which they published in 2010, where $2.6 trillion were spent on healthcare, out of which $1.3 could have been saved easily. And of that, 40% were duplication of services, which was not needed. 20% was fraud. And 15% were administrative problems.
You know, Dr. Taj, this reminds me of what happens in education, where they keep on trying to reform it without asking teachers, and they keep on trying to reform healthcare without asking doctors. It makes no sense.
You are absolutely right.
That just makes no sense. Very quickly, because we're unfortunately already running out of time. It goes by fast. One of the advantages that we have with you as a candidate in the 11th Congressional District is you have an uncommon responsiveness and interest in foreign policy. This is something that matters deeply to you. I remember when I ran for Congress, you quizzed me on foreign policy issues when we sat at your house.
That's right.
So you are smarter than I was that day. You're smarter than I am today. Let's quickly talk about that.
Well, I think President really did wonderful. He has started good and well. He's not a warmonger, we can see. And with the 8 years we last, And then when he came in power, the first thing was negotiation. And I think that's the best thing anybody can do. We cannot jump into war immediately thinking something is happening. And for me, negotiation. And the way right now we are doing with Iran is wonderful, because it will prevent Iranians to go after nuclear weapon.
All right, unfortunately we're out of time. We're going to have you back. I said during the break, I'll let the audience know you're welcome anytime. So if you hear him a lot, it's because he calls me a lot, and I'm not going to say no. I'm just not going to say no to Dr. Tosh. Mark Brewer was with us on Monday. Couldn't say enough nice things about you.
Thank you.
We, of course, have been talking about you this week because we care about you. I genuinely care about you, Dr. Tosh. You're a friend. You're a very smart man, and you need to be representing the 11th Congressional District in Congress. And so we're going to work very hard towards that. And don't forget, people need to vote August 7th for Dr. Syed Tosh. It doesn't matter who the other guy is. Yes. The only name you need to know is Dr. Tosh. We need to take the break. We've got Carla Swift on this side. Dr. Tosh, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day, everyone who's listening.
All right, thanks.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truffiano on 1310 WDTW.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
Checking your early morning commute. Just got some slow traffic on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. Still got that road construction as your right two lanes closed. That'll be until Tuesday for M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. Also, Haggerty Road in both directions just south of Joy. That's closed for road construction. And 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road, you're reduced down to two lanes. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Truffiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift,
State Representative Harvey Santana.
And ladies and gentlemen, they're scaring you into being apathetic. Mm-hmm. They're scaring you into believing that the boogeyman really exists. The boogeyman exists in your mind. And if you let that contaminate the way you think, you're never going to get out there and vote. You got to look around your surroundings and look at the obvious things that are happening. And I ask you, how has Republican ideology helped you?
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
As we work our way through the hours, we haven't, in fact, Jeff and I were talking earlier in the week and said, hey, we haven't talked to Kevin Holley in a while, so we turned our attention to doing just that. And joining us now is the Democrat running against Brooks Patterson in Oakland County for that title and responsibility of Oakland County Executive is my friend Kevin Holley. Kevin, a pleasure to have you back on the show today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Man, oh, man, what interesting times. Certainly, I mean, certainly living in Oakland County, you could we could certainly talk about Thad McCotter, but I don't need to do that. There's lots of other things to talk about. In fact, you and I were chatting on the phone yesterday, day before, and you know, you had shared with me that the Oakland County Commission, along party line votes, voted to not submit. This was just a symbolic vote, but voted not to support the new bridge. And I thought that was such an odd thing that, every single Republican, I want to remind this audience, Brooks Patterson is very much a Republican. Every single Republican on the county commission voted against the bridge that just about everybody else, including the Republican governor of the state, wants. I thought this was really odd. Any idea what the feeling is behind that?
Well, and it's amazing because, as you said, it was a 16-9 party line vote. Every single Republican voted against the bridge project. And then on top of it, as you mentioned, it was a vote that didn't need to happen. It was completely, for purposes of sending a message, it had no effect. So you have to wonder what was behind 16 Republicans in lockstep when it's not necessarily a Republican or Democratic issue opposing the bridge project. It makes no sense. It makes you question, you know, do they have somebody that's supporting them out there that's encouraging them to vote this way?
Well, then it makes me wonder, where does Brooks stand on the bridge? Has Brooks come out publicly for it, against it, or is it like a lot of the things, well, let's just let the public decide?
Well, on this one, he has come out in favor of the bridge. I think what my concern or problem is that this vote should have never happened. Because, you know, if Brooks is going to play a leadership role in the county and the region, he should have gone to the Republican commissioners and said, hey, you do this, and you're going to send a very negative message. The folks in Canada are watching. The folks around the world are watching. Here we're trying to attract businesses to Oakland County, and we've got 16 commissioners saying, well, we're not going to help with growth in the region. We're not going to help with the transit issues in terms of products and goods flowing between countries. I mean, where was the leadership to make sure this vote never even happened? And now it's making, you know, national and international news.
Yeah, but Kevin, I mean, this is kind of a pattern for Brooks to talk about leadership. I mean, let's talk for a minute about the zoo. You know, Brooks couldn't have been more wrong about the zoo. In fact, it took you to point out to him that the zoo actually happens to be in Oakland County.
Well, that was was amazing. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the Free Press did an editorial basically criticizing Brooks and criticizing Oakland County for not being a better player regionally. And to defend his commitment to the region, he pointed to the Zoom millage, which again was a millage that the voters decided on. Brooks took a passive position, let the voters decide sort of thing, showed no leadership there, but said, well, you know, this millage has been approved and voters are sending money to the city of Detroit. Well, the reality is the Detroit Zoo is in Royal Oak and Huntington Woods and in the backyard here of Oakland County. And frankly, the zoo brings jobs and tourists and activity to Oakland County. So I'm not sure what he was thinking.
All right, well, let's take that step. We'll pick something that's not in Oakland County, Cobo. You know, the renovation of Cobo, you know, Brooks has said, of course, well, heck, you know, we're supporting that and sending millions upon millions of dollars for that project when, yeah, not so much. It's more the business travelers and tourists that visit Oakland County that are paying that tab. Isn't that right?
Well, and he's out there telling people, well, Oakland County residents and Oakland County voters are sending all this money down for the Cobo project. Well, the reality is it is a hotel tax, and visitors from all over the world are coming to the entire region. So, you know, whether they stay above 8 Mile in Southfield or below 8 Mile someplace in Detroit, everybody's paying the same tax and participating in, you know, renovating and supporting the renovations and the growth of Cobo. So the logic just isn't there. And again, it just kind of goes again to that whole passive leadership issue.
Oh, so let's stick with that for a moment. I mean, you know, Kevin, if you were Oakland County executives, I think it's a fair question. How would you be doing it differently?
Well, I think one of the things that we have seen over the last 20 years is Patterson has really isolated Oakland County from the rest of the region. I mean, just as a culture, an attitude, and that goes right again to the heart of the issue of image in the region. And, you know, when businesses are looking for an opportunity to establish themselves somewhere, they're looking for a regional cooperative approach. We don't have that. We're not engaging leaders around the region. A good case in point right now that's very topical, very current, is this DIA millage. The reality is Oakland County's taken a completely passive role. Brooks Patterson's whole approach is, well, let the voters decide. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure it's going to be the best solution for the DIA, because you've only got three counties involved right now. Why is the state of Michigan not at the table to talk about this long-term sustainability issue? Why are counties like Washtenaw and Monroe and St. Clair not at the table? We've got three counties, Macomb, Wayne, and Oakland, taking the lead on this project, so we don't even have a regional solution around to this. It's just a theme that Oakland County is going to just step back and not get engaged, and at the end of the day, are we really getting the best solutions for the region?
Now, I think that is an important question. I know that one of the, certainly one of the things that you have done, and I think done quite well, the idea of Brooks Patterson actually putting on a pair of comfortable shoes and knocking doors makes me smile, because I can't fathom that he walks any further from his desk to his car where the driver's waiting to take him somewhere. With that said, you have been knocking a lot of doors. Tell me, you know, because we've had this conversation, Kevin Holley, many times, and I think it's important that we have it again. Tell me what kind of things the people in Oakland, the voters in Oakland County, are talking about. More specifically, I guess we'll take a two-prong approach. What are they interested in? And you know, when they meet you, are they pleased that there's somebody running against Brooks?
Well, the reaction as I knock doors has been extremely positive, and we've been, frankly, trying to target a lot of independent and what one might call lean Republican type of voters, because, you know, Oakland County, although it leans Democratic at this point through all the modeling, you know, people tend to swing both ways in Oakland County and from the middle. And so the interesting thing is people really feel like the feedback I'm getting is the county's gotten complacent. We don't have a strategy for taking the county forward. You know, and oftentimes invariably every night, one or two voters actually use the quote that Brooks likes to tout, which is, he's the king of sprawl. And then we have conversations around that. Well, the reality is, you know, sprawl doesn't work if you don't have growth. And Oakland county's not in a situation right now, and the region's not in a situation where we have a lot of growth. So people want to know how we're going to reuse the assets that are already there. You know, every community has vacant malls. Every community has vacant manufacturing buildings. And those, they want those filled. So it's a paradigm shift out there.
Well, you know, you have in Oakland County, because I used to live in Oakland County, you have a real dichotomy, because you have some of the most profoundly poverty-stricken areas in the state and some of the wealthiest areas in the state. And that creates a real challenge for real leadership. And I emphasize real leadership because I'm not so sure Brooks is paying attention to the Pontiacs and other areas where there have been some challenges economically.
Well, and we're not. And if we don't pay attention, and if it doesn't get the attention it needs, then you kind of let organizations or communities go over the cliff. And I think that there are things that we can do to prevent that. I was in Rochester yesterday, the Older Persons Commission in Rochester. They have an amazing community center out there. They had an event. And, you know, folks in Rochester are quick to recognize that things are good for them right now. The community has benefited from sprawl. They're dealing with growth and those types of things, but they know that at the southern end of the county, there are challenges in the inner ring suburbs. School districts are having to shut down schools. You've got communities that are struggling to balance their budget.
Kevin Holley, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we got to get to the break. We'll come back and get to more, I promise, including jobs, because isn't that everybody's dialogue these days? I know it's mine. Kevin Holley, again, is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive. And why you should vote for him if you live in Oakland County? Well, he's doing the job interview right now. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
I'll tell you roadways where we picked up some slow spots. Let's head over to 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. Also to tap into brake lights on 696 westbound between 11 Mile and 75. Ain't got that road construction has your right two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The Mini Cooper Hardtop gets 37 miles per gallon. That's 37, commute-changing, rarely having to fill your tank miles per gallon. Get the $0 to motor lease with zero money down and $249 per month. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
I'm Marge Favelle, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
My guest, he is Brad Woodhouse, Communications Director of the Democratic National Committee.
He has run into Americans all across this bus tour that don't want any part of his plans for the economy, what we call Romney economics. And there's a famous incident in Pennsylvania where he was scheduled to make a stop, and he didn't even go there because he didn't want to confront Americans that, that disagree with him. And, that's not President Obama. You've seen him. He's, often been willing to talk to Americans who disagree with him. Mitt Romney doesn't want to confront the fact that his policies are wrong for middle-class Americans.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
I'm fine.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Kevin Holley, again, my guest. Kevin is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson. Before we get back to our specific discussion, Kevin, I've got to ask, how's your family holding up? I mean, I've run for office. I know how challenging it can be. How's your family doing?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, fortunately, with it being the summer, there's a little bit more flexibility, but I've got two young kids, as you probably know, 6 and 13, and we talked about it early what this might mean, but until you actually get into it, it's hard to really know. But they're holding up well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I mean it is tough. It really is. You're away from home a lot, and even if you're bringing them along with you, let's be honest about it. How many 6 and 13 year olds are going, cool, we're going to knock doors with Dad? It's just not happening.
Actually, my six-year-old loves it because she likes to hold the lit piece and be able to offer the lit piece to the voter.
Even better. Well, I'm sure that works in your favor. You were saying right before the break, and then we'll migrate over to the jobs issue, that even in Rochester, where they're is experiencing some success, they understand that on the southern part of their border, there are some challenges there. Understanding it and actually recognizing it, though, are two different things, are they not?
Well, and that's the thing that I found astounding about this whole process, is that, the Patterson administration, honestly, has done a very good job spinning the data or spinning the story to their benefit. And frankly, the press covers whatever they put out there. So there's not an acknowledgement of what is going on in the county. And if you don't acknowledge it, you can't fix it. So that's the thing. I mean, I just feel like Brooks is so busy spinning his own story that when do you take the time to say, okay, well, how can we really address some of these issues?
Well, let's throw, I think, what is a big story out there. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, I read somewhere where Brooks, say, listen, we're pretty much at capacity. We're doing really well. In fact, I don't know that we can do a whole lot better with jobs. I'm not so sure, Kevin Holley, you're agreeing with that.
No, I mean, it's just amazing to me. In terms of trying to set the culture at the county offices, he plastered a letter to his economic development team to say, hey, by June 2013, we'll have added enough jobs to be at full employment in Oakland County. And he's defining full employment at 5%, which, we could debate. But the reality is, if that statement were true, based on the projections that he's using, we will have added back 41,000 jobs from the bottom of this crisis. Well, the problem is we lost over 170,000 jobs. And the only reason he comes up with that full employment calculation is because folks have moved out of the area, jobs have moved out of the area, and people have moved out of the workforce. The reality is we're still down 130,000 jobs. So I don't even – that to me is just complete – being completely oblivious to the underlying reality of the situation. It amazes me.
No, you're being much kinder than I am because to me that sounds like lying.
Well, it's taking the statistics and just trying to get the press to print what you, the story you want to tell, which is, you know, given the circumstance, this is what it is. Let's not look at what's happened in the past and where we should and could be.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the press. You mentioned the Free Press was a little bit critical of Brooks, but for the most part, they seem to be in love with this guy, especially the Oakland Press, which is well-read. It's still, you know, the prominent paper, newspaper in Oakland County. Have you had trouble kind of infiltrating the Fourth Estate?
I would say yes, I mean, absolutely. I think to your question or comment relative to the Oakland Press, I would say that they've actually been very fair, especially when the State of the County came out and then the annual economic report came out. You know, Brooks put out his spin. They printed that. I printed a very detailed response, which is posted on my website, and the Oakland Press covered that. The other media in town has not covered any of that feedback, and it's disappointing. I realize the primaries have created a lot of noise. But it sure would be nice to get the rest of the Fourth Estate covering this race.
Well, it's interesting. Let's talk about the primaries because you and I talked the other day, and I didn't realize that Brooks actually had a primary challenger. Now, I think we can safely say Brooks is going to come through that just fine. But with that said, Kevin, it also gives us an opportunity to kind of break down the temperature of Oakland Countyites, if you will. Not everybody loves this guy, and again, I'm not suggesting that, you know, that this challenger is going to beat him, but I believe he's a Tea Party guy, correct?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think it's kind of one of these perennial candidates that's not affiliated with anybody.
Gotcha. And, all right.
In fact, I don't even think the press can find him right now. But it is but it is a name on the ballot that's different than Brooks in the Republican primary.
Yeah, but that does force people to go and vote in that category. I don't care how many it is. It does force people to do that.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see as a protest. I'm not even pretending that Brooks is going to have trouble with this primary because that's not going to happen. But it will be interesting to see if people are paying attention. And so I'm very curious to see what those numbers are. That also, of course, puts your name on the ballot, does it not, on August 7th?
It does. It does. And it's interesting, as I go door to door, I don't have an opponent in the primary, but yesterday I was knocking doors in Berkeley, and somebody would say, oh, I just voted for you, or I just saw your name on the ballot. So that having absentee ballots out there is helping with the name recognition.
Yeah, it starts to get awfully real at this point, doesn't it, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. And it's good that I'm kind of feeling like I'm getting over that name recognition hurdle, because then you can start right into talking about some of the issues.
Well, and name recognition, of course, is the name of the game. I would think at some point, you and I, listen, the very first interview that you and I did together, it was about, you know, raising money and raising money and raising money. So I hope that, and I know, because, again, we talked the other day, that you spend part of every day doing just that, raising money. And no matter what you raise, it's never going to be enough. But you do what you have to do, and you try to make the best of it. And really, for you, this is about the general election in November. And between now and then, you save as much money as you can. You knock on as many doors as you can. You keep on talking about the issues that you know the people in Oakland County care about the most.
Well, we've got the right messaging, and that's the one thing you kind of, you know, understand when you're out knocking doors. And at some point, the press is going to pick up the messaging because voters care about what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that's true. Well, let's get out some information. Where can we find you online?
It's Howley for Executive. It's Howley, and it's for F-O-R spelled out, HowleyForExecutive.com.
All right. And then, of course, on Facebook, I would imagine you've got a Facebook page.
Kevin Howley.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just search for that, and you will find Kevin that way. And I got to tell you, I've seen a maturation in you, Mr. Howley, since you and I first talked, in a good way. I really see that you're much more comfortable being a candidate. You certainly are very comfortable with message, and you seem to be growing into this quite nicely. I think you're hitting your stride at the right time, Kevin.
Well, I hope so. I'm not a politician by background, so it's all new to me.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. All right, Kevin, thanks so much. We're just out of time for today. We'll visit again soon, of course, and if there's anything we can do, all you need to do is let us know.
Thanks. We hit a lot of good topics.
You bet. Kevin Holley, once again, a Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson.
That'll do it for this hour. Remember, today is a best of, but tomorrow we're back with live shows and up-to-date information that you've come to know, love, and respect. I'm Jeff Radford, producer of First Shift, and I hope you've enjoyed the hour and the guests and the information we've been able to bring you. Stay punched in. We've got plenty more to bring your way after we get some news from NBC.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
My guest, he is Brad Woodhouse, Communications Director of the Democratic National Committee.
He has run into Americans all across this bus tour that don't want any part of his plans for the economy, what we call Romney economics. And there's a famous incident in Pennsylvania where he was scheduled to make a stop, and he didn't even go there because he didn't want to confront Americans that disagree with him. And that's not President Obama. You've seen him. He's, often been willing to talk to Americans who disagree with him. Mitt Romney doesn't want to confront the fact that his policies are wrong for middle-class Americans.
On 1310 WDTW.
Out to your roadways where we picked up some slow spots. Let's head over to 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. Also to tap into brake lights on 696 westbound between 11 Mile and 75. And you got that road construction has your right two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikulczewski. The search for a motive in Aurora, Colorado, where the man accused of killing 12 people and injuring 58 in the movie theater massacre makes his first court appearance. NBC's Miguel Amaguer.
24-year-old James Holmes has been in solitary confinement since his arrest on Friday. Later on this morning, he'll be at the courthouse for his arraignment. Police say he is the man responsible for the massacre and for ripping apart this city.
Aurora Mayor Steve Hogan says the city will not be defined by the tragedy, saying this is the time to grieve, heal, and overcome. A violent day in Iraq where bombings and gunfire have claimed more than 90 lives, including 13 soldiers on an army base in northeastern Iraq. Continued concern about Spain's debt crisis is dragging down European markets this morning. Stock futures on Wall Street sharply lower. And CDC is reminding pregnant women that drinking alcohol can put your child at risk. New stats show older, more educated pregnant women are much more likely to drink, despite the warnings. This is NBC News Radio. At least 11 people are dead after a pickup truck packed with 23 people thought to be illegal immigrants crashed in South Texas. Another 12 were injured, several critically. The hammer comes down on Penn State's football program today as the NCAA invokes sanctions in response to the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal. NBC's Michael Isikoff.
Sources are saying those sanctions will include a severe restriction on athletic scholarships, that the school can award a multi-year ban on playing in bowl games, tens of millions of dollars in fines.
Good news for air travelers. Autumn fare sales will soon be taking off. Industry analysts say beginning in August, many airlines will slash fares on their cheapest domestic seats by 10 to 20%. And turn 16, get a driver's license? Not so fast. A new study finds fewer teenagers getting a license, and researchers say it's partly because of the Internet, as virtual contact becomes commonplace. There's less need to actually travel around and visit in person. I'm Jim Mikulczewski, and
it's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
The Make Room for Savings event is on at the Home Depot now through August 12th. You'll find organization inspiration from top brands like Martha Stewart Living, Husky, and Home Decorators Collection. And right now, you'll also find a 56-quart tote at a new lower price of just $5.97. Garage, closet, home, or office, it's a great time to make room for savings now through August 12th. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Tough morning in Toyland. Hasbro is reporting a bigger-than-expected drop in sales for the April through June quarter, blaming especially weakness in Europe and Asia. Sales fell 11%. The bottom line for Hasbro sank 25% from a year ago, in part because of promotions connected to Transformers last year. If the week ahead is to be a positive one for Wall Street, it likely means the market will have to dig itself out of a hole. Roughly an hour and a half to the opening bell, stock futures are in the hole more than a percent. S&P futures down 14 points, NASDAQ futures losing 31, Dow futures down 138. Futures taking their cue from overseas stock markets, losing closer to 2% after signs the Chinese economy is still slowing amid fresh indications Greece may be about to leave the European currency bloc, and as fear grows, Spain may be unable to pay its own debt obligations. S&P futures down 14. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You may have seen me being interviewed on CNBC, Bloomberg, or Fox TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the market. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade, and I've been on the trading floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-288-0092, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report to you for free. That's 800-288-0092. 800-288-0092.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at...
An idea.
A thought.
Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Triano.
Good morning and welcome to First Shift. I know you're used to hearing the dulcet tones of one Tony Trupiano, but today we bring you a special best of edition of First Shift under special circumstances. Fear not, tomorrow we'll be back with a live show that you're used to, but today I'm going to bring you a lineup of the best interviews we've had recently and bring them to you this hour as we punch in for a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome, everybody. I am that guy, Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. We've got a pretty impressive hour of radio for you, and we're going to begin our discussion in this hour. Really, it's kind of a multi-dimensional discussion because we do know, especially those of us that live in the Tri-County area, that the real estate market is really, for all intents and purposes, not getting better. I mean, there's some marginal success, but not the kind of stuff where you go, oh, now we're talking. And here's part of the challenge, although certainly the problems with lending and mortgages and real estate have at some level been colorblind. That is not entirely true if you look beyond just the surface. There was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, that some felt that the reason that the housing market bubble was burst was because the Bush administration, ironically enough, were too kind to minority populations and giving them mortgages without asking the right kind of questions. In fact, they said to mortgage companies, it doesn't matter, just lend the money, we'll worry about it later. Whether that's true or not, that's something the courts may or may not one day decide. But that doesn't change where we're at today. We do need to correct what's happened in the housing markets. But what happens, and how can we rebuild the dream of home ownership in this country? Let me turn my attention now to somebody that may just be able to help us. Joining us now is Nikitra Bailey. Nikitra is the vice president. She is the executive vice president of the Center for Responsible Lending, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works to protect homeownership and family wealth by fighting predatory lending practice. Their focus is on consumer lending, primarily mortgages, payday loans, credit cards, bank overdrafts, and auto loans. Since they began their work in 2002, they have witnessed, studied, and fought against outrageous lending abuses, and God knows there have been plenty of that. Nikitra Bailey, welcome to First Shift this morning, and I hope you're well on this early Monday morning.
Thank you for having me. I am. I hope you are as well.
I am. I've got to tell you that this is going to be one of those discussions that I think is going to be profoundly important for people to hear. We look at the kind of work that you are doing, and we know that there has been really rampant discrimination, especially amongst people of color when it comes to lending. There was a time where we couldn't even have a discussion. Money became a little bit easier to get to, and so lots of people thought, well, I have been oppressed for years. I'm going to go get that mortgage, or I'm going to go get that credit card. I'm going to go get that credit that I so richly deserve that everybody else in society has access to but me. And in the process, what we found out was those people were just looking to make a killing off of folks. And in fact, what they did do was suck them dry for every penny they could get, took everything away from them, and said, hey, you're on your own, or am I getting this wrong?
You're getting it right. For many people, homeownership provides an opportunity to build wealth and to place one's family firmly in the American middle class. Sadly, for African Americans and Latinos, instead of providing opportunity, homeownership has become a downward climb on the economic ladder out of the American middle class because of rampant predatory lending practices. Predatory lending is a practice that actually limits opportunity because it places families in an unfair economic disadvantage. This disadvantage happens because predatory lending targets end up receiving riskier loans with higher costs and fees than they qualify for. And it's really important here for me to let your audience understand that many of the African American and Latino borrowers who received these predatory loans were not first-time homeowners. In fact, they had owned their homes and were living in them and had built up considerable equity. And that equity was under attack. What we saw was these communities were targeted by mortgage brokers to take the equity out of the home. And the reason why they did this, because there were incentives for the mortgage brokers, they would actually make more money on the loan to put these borrowers in more riskier products than they would otherwise qualify for.
Well, you know, at some level, the first question that comes to my mind, Nikitra, is, God, at some level, shouldn't that be illegal? But I know it wasn't, but man, shouldn't it have been?
Since 2006, my organization has released a series of reports where we have tried to highlight that what was going on in the mortgage market was a dual market. You had a market where white borrowers who had high credit scores, where one would define them as prime, were getting safe loans, traditional 30-year fixed mortgages, and those mortgages were giving them an opportunity to build wealth for their families. What African-American and Latino families were overwhelmingly bombarded with instead of safe prime loans were abusive subprime loans, and these were loans that had risky characteristics that made foreclosure more likely for these borrowers. And as a result of that, the American economy tanked because housing is such an integral part of our economy. So when we left one segment of borrowers out in the field with these risky practices, they eventually became mainstream and end up hurting our overall economy.
Well, you know, and then of course now we, and I would suggest that in most, still in most U.S. markets, the real estate, the real estate difficulties continue. Certainly it's one of the indicators of a strengthening economy. And although, Nikita, we do see that there has been some improvement, if we, again, we have got to go just a little under the surface, but if we do, we find that it's only a little better for white families. It certainly isn't better for minorities.
Absolutely. What we know at the end of this housing crisis, African American and Latino families are likely to lose between 11% and 17% of their homes. And this is for all people who own homes. This is a significant amount of loss for these communities because many families, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, were historically denied access to credit. And because they were denied access to credit, they have spent the last 30-plus years trying to play catch-up and to use home ownership as an opportunity to build wealth for their families. But instead of positioning themselves for a more secure future, what they have resulted with is a net loss of home ownership. And that net loss of home ownership is going to be devastating for these communities for many generations.
All right. Well, you know, so we take a look at, let's go back to the point of what you do at the Center for Responsible Lending. This, you're not just collecting data and reporting on it. I would suggest that you're an advocacy organization as well, correct?
Absolutely. We are, and what we advocate are fair and responsible practices. And it's really important that we talk for a moment about the recent settlement between the United States Department of Justice and Wells Fargo, because for a long time, when we were advocating that these very abusive practices exist, many people were denying them. And what this settlement shows is that discrimination was relevant towards African Americans and Latinos, and that similarly situated borrowers were charged more for the same credit product. So you had African Americans and Latinos being charged twice as much to three times as much as likely for a loan as a similarly situated white borrower. This created a great economic drain in those communities.
How is it that, I mean, you know, with all due respect to lenders, how is it that they can blatantly lie? Well, no, we didn't do that. Well, of course you did that. We've got millions of families, well, hundreds of thousands of families that we could bring to testify to what you did do. Listen, it's hard enough for white families to deal with these situations, to embarrass and to continue to embarrass families of color, to take away opportunity, to really steal what little they have and place that in jeopardy should be criminal, and they should be held accountable.
You're absolutely right. Initially, what we saw was that these inflated housing prices were masking the problem. So a lot of people wasn't sure what's going on because a lot of these borrowers were subjected to repeated refinances. But once the inflation in housing started to decrease and we start returning back to normal housing prices, we started seeing how rampant these practices are. And what we're really pleased with is that as a result of these bad practices, the newly created Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created. This is the only federal financial agency that has a sole design to ensure that these risky mortgages don't take place in the future. There are currently laws on the book as the result of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Consumer Protection Act that prohibits many of these practices, and the newly created Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is promulgating and creating rules right now to ensure these type of practices are not the practices in the mortgage market of tomorrow.
All right. We're going to, if you can stay with us a little bit longer, we need to take a quick break here in just a minute. But I do want to continue this discussion. I think it's important that people hear it. And we also have, Nikitra, a very significant percentage of our listenership, come from minority communities. And I think it's important that they hear this. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break here and come back. If you'd like to join us, folks, if you have a question or comment for Nikitra Bailey, we would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. Nikitra, again, is the Executive Vice President at the Center for Responsible Lending. You're going to find them online at responsiblelending.org. If Jeff hasn't already done it, it'll be on the Facebook page shortly. Stay with us. We'll come back right after this.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Truppiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310WDTW.
Nikitra Bailey is my guest. She is the Executive Vice President of the Center for Responsible Lending. Again, you're going to find them online at responsiblelending.org. Nikitra, you know, one of the questions, it's a common question, it's an important question, but it's a question that needs to be asked and answered. Is it possible for anyone in this country to be able to live the dream of home ownership.
It is. It is. And what we need to do is make sure that in the mortgage market, we go back to creating a level playing field. We know that currently a lot of borrowers are in mortgages where they're upside down, meaning that they owe more on the mortgage note than the home is actually worth. So what we need to do is make sure that foreclosure prevention efforts help mortgage borrowers refinance those mortgages so that they can take advantage of these historic lows in the mortgage market. And we also need to remember that this foreclosure crisis is not over. We're only halfway through. So there are many borrowers that still can be saved. And those borrowers need to receive mortgage loan modifications, meaning that principal on those mortgages needs to be lowered because those borrowers will be able to pay those mortgages with a lower principal. And that will give the kind of opportunity to many families that homeownership is supposed to provide instead of the burdens that they're experiencing today.
Well, Nikita, let's go back to foreclosures for just a moment because there are way too many people within the sound of our voices right now, and I don't care what color you are. I don't care what product you have. I don't care what bank or mortgage company you belong to. I don't care if it's a government-backed loan or not. The bottom line is that there are lots of people in the legal community that understand the foreclosure laws a lot better than I ever will, that have really taken advantage of what's happened over the last handful of years and continue to encourage foreclosures because, frankly, lots of people financially benefit from that. So even those that easily qualify for a remodification are not getting those remodification loans because, frankly, those that are a lot smarter than I am, perhaps not smarter than you, but a whole lot smarter than me, know how to play this game better than I do.
And that's why we push so hard for servicing reform. And in states like California, homeowners were actually just given legislation that creates a homeowner's bill of rights in the foreclosure process. And it outlines some clear rules around how these loans need to be serviced, meaning that these borrowers should get opportunities for modifications as opposed to getting layered on fees and redirected from loan modification. What we are totally advocating for is that all eligible borrowers get those loan modifications because housing is a critical part of our economic sector. And when those homeowners get into a more financial footing, our economy is going to recover a lot faster than it currently is.
Well, that really is the point. You know, we have actually on this show, I don't know how many of these we've covered, but more than our fair share of people, whether they be people of color or not, that have had all kinds of issues with their borrower, and we've chronicled people that can afford to be in their homes, that have done everything they could, that have sent thousands of dollars to their mortgage company, that jumped through every hoop that was asked of them, that sent the same documents over and over and over again, only to be denied a remodification or another loan. You know, at some point here, okay, so in California they've done this, but don't we need the federal government, don't we need Congress to step up and say, hey, maybe we can't agree on a lot, but the one thing we can agree on is that we've got to protect those that are being unfairly punished just for living, because that's what they're doing.
Right now, there are more opportunities to refinance. The Homeownership HARP Act has been strengthened, and it's created so that more homeowners get an opportunity to refinance. So there is activity happening that is permitting these refinances. And what we need are homeowners to stay very diligent and to keep pushing that envelope and not to give up when they hit a brick wall. We need them to consistently demand they are given the opportunities that they know exist for themselves.
So even
that's going to lift up our economic challenge.
So even if they've already been denied by their mortgage company, they should continue to push on?
Yes, because there is a new version of the HEART program, and it's been relaxed a little bit to make sure that borrowers who are underwater can tap into these historically low interest rates. So I would give it another try. I would not give up. I would contact that lender and see if I qualified under this new revised set of HEART.
All right, very good. Well, before we wrap things up today, Nikitra, I think it's just important for people to understand that there is somewhere for them to turn to. If somebody were to contact if somebody were to contact the Center for Responsible Lending, would you be able to help individuals, or is this more of a, you know, is what the work you're doing in a more of a wholesale thing?
It's more wholesale. We do more policy advocacy. I would recommend borrowers contact their lenders directly, or they seek out a HUD-certified housing counselor to receive assistance. These housing counselors provide their services, and they are certified to help homeowners get a better opportunity on the other side, and they are also a good safety net for being the first line who can look over borrower situations and provide them with the type of guidance that they need.
And I do believe that's free, is it not? That is a free service provided by the federal government, is it not?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And before we go, it's really important that we talk about what the mortgage market needs to look like in the future. We need to make sure we don't unduly restrict credit in the future so that qualified borrowers can become and maintain home ownership. The travesty of this crisis is that a lot of people were pushed out of home ownership who, prior to these risky practices, were very successful at being homeowners. They had already lived in their homes and had built up equity. So we need to make sure that when we create the mortgage market of tomorrow, that borrowers are not unduly pushed out from having access to credit, because that's going to be a critical portion of how we rebuild this economic engine around.
Yeah, you know, Nikitra, I think that bothers me more than anything is that people fought for years. Minority communities fought for years to be able to get access to the same credit that others did just because of the color of their skin. They finally got it. And what did the industry do? They said, we don't care. We're going to take your money and we're going to run. And I'm so offended by that at every way you can be offended. We're going to keep an eye on this. And I would think, Nikitra, we're going to have you back at some time in the very near future.
I look forward to it. And thank you so much.
I appreciate your time this morning. Again, it's already up on the Facebook page, so go check out the great work that's being done there. All right.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truffiano on 1310 WDTW.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
As we're right in the middle of your rush hour, we are still accident-free, but we do have some heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Huron Street and State Street. Also, is bumper-to-bumper on M14 westbound between Sheldon and US 23, and a tapping the brakes on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truffiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Bureau Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right.
Do you think he gets tired of hearing the form of a question? Like, he's in the hospital right now.
Oh,
and the
yes.
Doctors are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
On 1310 WDTW.
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Before we do that, I want to turn my attention to an old friend. And interestingly, as I was doing some research for today's show, I started thinking, gee, when did I meet Roscoe Woods? And it was last June that I first had him on the show, so it's been just over a year. I'd like to say some things changed, and they have. Some things haven't. One of the things that has changed is Roscoe is now the president of the local American Postal Workers Union, and he joins us this morning to talk about a variety of issues that I wanted to update everybody on. Roscoe, I want to welcome you back to First Shift.
Thanks, Tony. Has it been a year already?
Yeah, just over a year, brother. It was, in fact, our first email to each other was on June 11th of last year.
Well, I most certainly remember the first time I heard you on the radio, so thanks for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Before we delve into this, I said one of the things that has changed in the last year is you are now the president of your local, and this is a big job right now, Roscoe. Not that it wasn't always a big job, but there's a lot going on, and the postal workers are truly under attack, and from the honest of places, the federal government, and it just seems to not make a whole lot of sense, Roscoe.
Well, no, I think the biggest problem we face right now is the continued misinformation that somehow fixing what's going on with the Postal Service would require huge expenditures of taxpayer revenue. And that is the message that guys like Daryl Issa, House out of California, Dennis Roth out of Florida, and some of the House leadership is putting out there that somehow to fix what's wrong with the Postal Service is considered a taxpayer bailout, and they know it's not true, but they continue to advance that under the guise of protecting taxpayer revenue, and somehow we're just having a problem getting the message out there that that you can fix the Postal Service today, and it won't cost one penny of taxpayer revenue, and you can fix the Postal Service today, and you can have a viable, functional, awesome service into the next four decades, and it wouldn't cost you a penny.
Well, you know, and this takes me back to something that I've said on this program so many times, and I do want to go back to Congressman Issa for just a moment, because he is really at the center of what is an unnecessary, let me repeat that, Roscoe, an unnecessary controversy. He seems hell-bent, and I don't know if it's ego, I don't know if we play the follow the money game, which is where I'm going with this, if somehow those that own expediting services or package delivery services have contributed mightily to his campaign. But he has created a controversy where it doesn't need to be, and in reality shouldn't even exist.
That pretty much sums it up. I mean, his House Resolution 2309, I guess, you know, the House of Representatives hasn't exactly been friendly to the middle class, given the GOP control. But if you look at his legislation, this fix that he offers up, it's got two sponsors in the House. Now, that's a Republican-offered up bill. It's the House Resolution 2309. It's got two sponsors. You go over to the other side of the aisle where Democrat David Lynch has put together H.R. 1351. That's got over 215 sponsors. It's got a clear majority of the House is supporting that legislation. Republicans and Democrats alike. In fact, we met with Candace Miller a couple of weeks ago. And after our meeting, she came back, gave me a call, one of her aides did, and said that she would sign on as a co-sponsor of 1351. So you have the majority of the House sponsoring one piece of legislation, and Eric Cantor, the House majority, he's prepared to bring up something that you got two sponsors for. So clearly the agenda is not to do what the majority of the House or the majority of the American people think is what's best for the Postal Service. I believe it's what you said. It's to privatize, to destroy, and to just totally damage two of the largest remaining industrial unions in this country, the National Association of Letter Carriers and the American Postal Workers Union. It's union busting at its core. One of the questions we asked Candace Miller as we appealed to her was, what do you gain by putting another 100,000 hardworking middle-class taxpayers on unemployment? You know, one of the things that kind of dawned on me as I prepared to meet with some of these representatives is the Postal Service is a unique entity in that it takes in no tax revenue to function, yet tax revenue is generated by the federal taxes the hardworking men and women of the Postal Service pay, whether they're the rank and file union members who move the mail across this country, or the management officials that oversee what gets done. We pay taxes, so there's really no tax revenue in and billions of tax revenue out. So Darrell Issa's just blind desire to destroy unions would just further drive this country into another recession. How you help anybody in this country by putting 100,000 people out of work is just beyond, I can't even fathom the logic.
No question, Roscoe. Let's go to the phones. I want to let people know if you want to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Laura in Royal Oak joins us now. Good morning, Laura. I want to welcome you to First Shift, and you're on the air with Roscoe Woods.
Hi, good morning. The one thing that I would like to touch on, and I know that he's aware of this, and it seems to be getting not as much attention than it needs to. And a lot of the Postal Service problems is that during the lame duck session, they passed the bill and signed it into law requiring the Postal Service to fund their pensions for 75 years out within a 10-year window. No company, no business could do that and be viable. But yet, this is just—it's stated, it's brought up in conversation, but that is the biggest financial strain on the Postal Service right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Laura.
And
you bring up
a lot of people do not know this.
Yeah, then you bring up a great point, and certainly, Roscoe, thank you for your call, Roscoe. You and I have discussed this very issue with your predecessor, Larry Miller, on the show when we had you in studio. But let's go there. I mean, Laura brings up a profoundly important, and I'm glad that she's so aware that this is happening.
Yeah, thank you, Laura, for bringing that up. I mean, truthfully, the Senate back in May passed legislation, Senate Bill 1789. Now, that bill, that had some issues. I mean, no legislation that's bipartisan is perfect. Each side gets a little bit. But one thing the Senate legislation did is it allowed the Postal Service to reduce the funding mandate from 100% to 80%, and instead of having to cough up $50 billion over the next 10 years, it allowed them to amortize that out over the next 40 years. Now, it didn't do, I mean, honestly, it didn't do what we wanted. It didn't take that mandate from us because I was like Laura stated, and I'm glad she's aware of it. No other federal agency or private agencies or private companies, for that matter, has to fully fund retirement benefits for people that aren't even born yet. I mean, that's how ridiculous that 2006 legislation was. But the Senate bill allowed the Postal Service to amortize that over 40 years, reduced it to 80% instead of 100%. And once the Senate bill was passed, Senator Lieberman, I believe Senator Collins from Maine, they actually wrote a letter to House Leader Boehner and Majority Leader Cantor and asked them to just, we've done all the hard work for you. Set aside 2309, set aside 1351, and take up Senate-led Senate Bill 1789, mark it up as the House bill, make your amendments, get it into reconciliation, and let's get some legislation passed, and let's save the Postal Service. And basically, the House is destroying the Postal Service by doing absolutely nothing. They are sitting there, and while they sit there and do nothing, the Postmaster General unilaterally is reducing delivery service. He's going to move forward on all these destruction, all these things that will further degrade the service, further erode public confidence in the service, and we'll end up with what Daryl Issa wants, and the House will have to do nothing about it. They're just sitting there doing nothing.
And that really is the problem, Roscoe, is that from a public perception, especially if they're not reading the news or listening to what's going on, if they're not watching what's happened, if they're not, you know, there's so many ways that they can get information, but if they're not getting that information, you just said it, all they're seeing is what is perceived as an erosion of service, which is really not what it is at all. It's really a handcuffing by the federal government of postal employees who aren't being allowed to do their jobs in a proper way. We need to take a quick break here. We've got much more to get to, though, and so we'll ask Roscoe to stay with us through the break, and we'll come back and get to that, including the talk of a hunger strike and what that was all about.
You're listening to a Best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
As we're right in the middle of your rush hour, we are still accident-free, but we do have some heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Huron Street and State Street. Also, it's bumper-to-bumper on M14 westbound between Sheldon and US 23. And a tapping the brakes on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Friday, the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage. Don't miss the biggest event of the year, the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Friday, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives.
UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Roscoe Woods, the president of the American Postal Workers Union, is my guest. We are talking about really a fake crisis. It's a real crisis. I don't want to paint that the wrong way, Roscoe, but it's a real crisis because the Republicans have created a real crisis where it didn't once exist. In fact, this has forced a discussion about eliminating Saturday delivery, eliminating some branches of the Postal Service, which you and I have discussed previously, would be disastrous to communities. In fact, the last time I saw you, it was right after, in mid-Michigan, they had closed a small branch of the Postal Service that was critical to about 500 people that lived in this small town, mostly because a lot of them got their prescription drugs this way. You know, people just don't understand. This isn't just simply a matter of saving money. I mean, it's not, and that's not what this is just about.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, as an example, you talk about saving money. And Darrell Issa's legislation, he talks about reducing from 6 days to 5 day delivery. Now, if you believe what you see in the news, the average American says, well, what's the big deal, 6 day to 5 day? Well, for the Postal Service, for this government agency, the Office of Inspector General, I believe, did a study that predicted the Postal Service would lose approximately 17% in revenue while only saving 3%. And it's those types of changes that are being pushed forward, which provide no real savings, but definitely provide for job loss and reductions in service, which would further push the Postal Service into a hole. Just as kind of an example, over the last 4 to 5 years, the Postal Service has made $20 billion in payments into their benefit accounts, the retirement accounts. They've carried $20 billion in debt because of it, but they've made $21 billion. So if the Postal Service didn't have to make the payments, theoretically, they'd be in the black. I mean, it's crystal clear. So
absolutely. Before we go back to the phones, let me ask you that there was the hunger strike, which again should have made bigger news than it did, and I just don't get this because it was actually quite successful.
Yeah, you'd think that would have been something that news outlets would have covered, but a handful of former postal employees and some labor folks from across the country got together at the Capitol back in on June 25th, and they staged a four-day hunger strike trying to draw attention running the steps of the Capitol to, again, what we've been discussing and what you've allowed me to come out and discuss several times, the simple fixes and Congress's inaction. And they want to, just remind the American people that, the Postal Service is one of those government agencies. It's enshrined in our Constitution. All these folks from the Tea Party and all this talk about our constitutional rights. Well, it's so simple how they can overlook something like that that is, again, enshrined in the Constitution, which makes it a right of the American people, a viable, solid, hard-working Postal Service.
All right, Roscoe, let's go back to the phones again, and feel free to join us at 888-552-3595. Roger in Garden City joins us now. Roger, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Roscoe Woods.
Okay, thanks, Tony. Once again, the Republicans are against anything that's good for America, the party of noise.
By the way, for the for Congress, the switchboard, and you can just ask for any member of Congress, is 202-225-3121, and then just ask for whoever it is that you want to ask for. Go ahead, Roscoe, and comment on what Roger had to say.
Yeah, thanks, Roger, for bringing that up. I encourage everybody to give the House leadership a call. I called Boehner's office, and I said, if he is truly the majority leader, then he needs to take a look at what legislation designed to help the Postal Service is supported by the majority of the House. This is clearly, you're not going to see anything more clear than politics being played with the lives of so many hardworking people and a service that is one of the best the American public has than what's going on with the Postal Service. Because you have legislation, House Res 1351, that is supported by a majority of the members of the House of Representatives, and the majority leader refuses to bring that legislation forward. This is politics, pure and simple. It's union busting. It's all designed to break this agency up, force it into private hands. And I'm sorry, but there's nobody that can do what we do on the scale we do it. UPS and FedEx are fine companies, but they basically pay us to deliver their packages that last mile. I got a buddy of mine who lives in Durango, Colorado. FedEx won't drive up that mountain. We do.
There you go. I mean, that says it. Let's go to the phone. One more call before we have to wrap things up here. Brooks and Novi, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Roscoe Woods.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Roscoe. I find it interesting that Speaker Boehner's office even took your call, unless, of course, you live in his district, because every phone call I ever attempted to Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker would not be accepted because I was from Michigan, and she would only accept calls from her district. But my question is, it was just a couple years ago that the Democrats had total control of the House, the Senate, and had the executive branch. And if this action was done by Republicans back in 06, why didn't the Democrats fix it just a couple years ago when there was nothing the Republicans could have done to stop it?
All right, thank you. Let's do a little history lesson here, Roscoe. And I think it's important for people to know that, back in 2006, let me just give people some basic information. Congress, again, mandated that the U.S. Postal Service front load their retirement 75 years in advance. When the work began to reverse this, all right, listen to me loud and clear. When the work began to reverse this, a very Democratic Congress was very willing to work on this. Unfortunately, that 2 years went by a whole lot quicker than most people realized. And I'm not gonna let Democrats off the hook here, Roscoe. They should have moved on this a lot faster than they did. And when the time came to vote on this, the Republicans were now in control. And Daryl Issa, for whatever reason, made this his pet project. And he is the one that single-handedly slowed down the process. So I just want to let people know, Democrats certainly have some responsibility in this, Roscoe, but it's the Republicans that have continued to stonewall progress.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, we had the Employee Free Choice Act that had come up in the first front end of Congress, too, and the Democrats had control, and they got bogged down in the health care debate. And you're exactly right, that debate just galvanized the American people and Congress.
Hey, Roscoe, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're just out of time. We're going to have you back soon, but man, oh man, that went by fast. Let's visit more often, will we? Can we?
Anytime, Tony.
You bet. Roscoe Woods, we'll be back right after this.
That will do it for today's show. Thank you for punching in and checking out the best interviews we've been able to bring your way in the recent months. I'm Jeff Radford, and for all the guys here at First Shift, we hope you have a great day. And remember, tomorrow morning, bright and early, we'll be back with a live show that you won't want to miss. We're never too far away either, though. To interact with us and the show, head to Facebook, search for First Shift with Tony Truppiano, add a like and a comment today. Or if you have Twitter, and love Twitter like I do, the show is at Tony Truppiano, TRUPIANO. Thanks and have a good one.
Watching a good drive around Metro Detroit at this hour, no wrecks to worry about. Long-term construction has the right lane blocked on I-75 downriver. That's between West Road and Sibley for work on the Dix-Toledo overpass through late November. No problems traveling through the construction zones along I-96 at both Kensington Road and Milford Road.
As we're right in the middle of your rush hour, we are still accident-free, but we do have some heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Huron Street and State Street. Also is bumper-to-bumper on M14 westbound between Sheldon and US 23. And a tap in the brakes on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.